Phew, Easter Sunday, Holy Week, Easter Sunday, a special time of year, isn't it? I mean, Christmas is important, and Christmas is special, but there's something about Easter, the completion of God's work. Some of you will know, if you've been at this church the last few weeks, that we've been going through a series looking at habits of the heart, we've called it, where we've been exploring good spiritual disciplines, which we've taken from this book by Richard Foster, Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth. And it was going to end last week, this series, because obviously with Easter Sunday, I thought we need to speak about Easter Sunday. But then I noticed that one of the corporate disciplines that Foster has in his books is that of celebration. And I thought, what better day could there be to speak of celebration than on Easter Sunday? So that's what we're going to do. This is a day that we celebrate the risen Jesus. It's a day of joy. So today we conclude our little series by looking at this corporate discipline of celebration. Now, many of you will know, because I often quote some of the ancient Christians, that I've got particular fondness for Augustine of Hippo. Now, I'd love to go to a place called Hippo. Sadly, it is no longer in existence, or at least not the name. A little place on the Algerian coast. But Augustine of Hippo once said this. He said, the Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. The Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. And if we can't be that today, on Easter Sunday, then when can we be? Today is a day for celebration. Today is a day for joy. As followers of Jesus, we have much to be joyful about, given what took place that first Easter Sunday, given the disciples running and finding an empty tomb because Jesus wasn't there, Jesus had risen. That is plenty for us to be joyful about. I often wonder, though, that Friday before, so literally a couple of days earlier, I reckon Satan was the one who was joyful. He thought he'd won. The life of the Son of God ended in a horrible way on a cross. But he had no idea of what was around the corner. In fact, no one did other than God himself. He had no idea about what was going to take place just a few days later. Something that meant that Satan was no longer joyful. But we certainly can be. I want to give you a short reading from John 15. If you know your Bibles, you'll know this well. I'm going to read verses 9 to 11. Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And it strikes me that what we are remembering this morning, what we are celebrating this morning, is what makes our joy complete. What gives us that cause to celebrate? What allows us to be an alleluia from head to foot? The love of Jesus, so strong that he was prepared to die for every single one of us here, for all those people at home on Zoom, and for everyone else in this world. And he invites us to remain in that love, to be good followers, to follow his commands, and then to know and remain in that love of his. It is a cause for joy, my friends. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He writes this to the church in Philippi in chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Listen to that verse in the Message paraphrase, though. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Wow, that tells us what to do, doesn't it? The question is, do we celebrate God enough? Do we revel in him because of what he means to each one of us? because of what he's done for each one of us. Because of it being found on Easter Sunday that he had risen from the dead. It is cause for celebration. And that has an added benefit, according to Richard Foster. He says, celebration brings joy into life. And joy makes us strong. Scripture tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We cannot continue long in anything without it, he says. The point is that however tough life is sometimes, and it will be tough sometimes, however much life sucks sometimes, and it will suck sometimes, we can always celebrate. We can always be joyful about Jesus in our lives. Amen indeed. Thank you, sister. But celebration in this book is about a corporate thing. It's a corporate discipline, said Richard Foster. So celebration is something that we can and we should do together, as we've been doing this morning. I mean, who generally has a party with just themselves? Often if we have a party, we have lots of people coming along and we celebrate together. In fact, Richard Foster says that the discipline of celebration is central to all the other disciplines that we have looked at so far and the other ones in the book. He says, without a joyful spirit of festivity, the disciplines become dull, death-breathing tools in the hands of modern Pharisees. Whoa, he doesn't mince his words, does he? Don't get me wrong. I'm sure this does not apply just to me. I know that there are times that I come to church and, be quite frankly, the last thing is on my mind is celebrating. It's always because there's other stuff going on for me at the time, things that might be getting me down or stressing me out. But do you know what, folks? Coming together with you guys, all of you guys, reminds me of why we're gathering together. Reminds me of Jesus. It reminds me that he did rise on Easter Sunday. It reminds me that that is a very good reason to celebrate. And I'm wanting to do so even if I'm not feeling my best as I walk in to church. But what does celebration look like exactly? I feel that we've been doing a bit of that this morning. But it certainly, I think, means probably us needing to step out of our comfort zones a little. I love the way Foster in his book says that we should shed our polite, reserved responses and go for it. Because celebration fuels, he says, our journey along the way through life's struggles and trials. He says that we should sing more, that we should dance more. What do you reckon, Tina? Do you think we should dance more? I thought you'd agree with me on that one. We should laugh more. Amen. Goodness only knows there's plenty of humor and wit in some of the stories that Jesus told. Only I think of some of the names he gives some of his disciples to see he was having a bit of a laugh. You know, I had a dream this morning. I was sharing it with Katie and Joel. And I saw the order of service go out last week. And I saw all this long list of names of people that were going to be in the band. I felt for James, who was on PA. He's done a great job, isn't he? Hey, let's give him applause. And my dream last night, no word of a lie, is I arrived at church and there was loads of people on the stage, which there is, and then I get up to speak to you and there was no one down there, because everyone, all of you, were up here. In some ways, that's what it is about. We're all part of this. We're here together to worship God, to celebrate. Not to do so in a, as Foster says, in a gushingly empty or shallow way, but to do so from a place of transformation that we have because we know Jesus. An intentionality to celebrate. Even on those days that I come in here and actually the last thing I want to do is celebrate, I know it uplifts my spirit to do so, to be among brothers and sisters and to celebrate together. And you know what, folks? We're a diverse bunch of people, a range of ages and whole loads of different lifestyles and upbringings and so on. But we can celebrate together, even if there are some things that we're not quite in agreement about. Because I tell you what, there's an awful lot more that unites us than divides us. So we need to focus on those and celebrate together. And central to that, of course, is what today is all about. The discovery of the empty tomb. Jesus rising from the dead and in doing so giving us a way back into relationship with God. That is worth celebrating. The promises he gives about being close to us throughout whatever occurs in our life, however good or however bad, that is worth celebrating. The plans he has for us, the way that he wishes to use us to do his work, his mission here on earth, that is worth celebrating. The calling of us together as a gathered community of like-minded, Christ-loving souls, that is worth celebrating. The beating of death, meaning that hope of Easter, that we can look forward to the joy of resurrection ourselves, living with him, friends, that is worth celebrating. We have much worth celebrating. And doing so together, in the way that we are this morning, makes it all the more pleasurable. I love being among you and celebrating with you. So let's take this spiritual discipline of communal celebration seriously. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to stand to celebrate now. And look, if you want to dance down the aisles and around